friends. Welcome back to another edition of the Amber May Show. I am so glad you are here with me. I love the friendships that we have on our show. So glad you're here with me. Join me every week. Please join me on Telegram. I always add more content there. You can find me at The Amber May Show on Telegram. I'm on Clout Hub. I'm on Frank Social Amber May, True Social Amber May, so join me there. But right now on this episode, I have Colonel John Mills, and we are going to talk about the border issue. So this is what we're talking about on today's show. I love Colonel Mills. He is a wealth of information, and I just love his insight onto what's going on with our country. So that's coming on today's show. Please like, share, and subscribe. Please like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing and you want to become an angel investor, the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com, click the donate button, and donate whatever you think you can donate. That would be super helpful. Or you can become a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. That also helps support the show. So I'm really excited to have Colonel John Mills back in studio with me, and he's coming up right now. Well, like I told you, I have retired Colonel John Mills joining us. I'm so excited. Thank you for coming back on my program.
Thank you, Amber, and always an honor to be with you on your show.
I had so much fun the last time I got to interview you, so I couldn't wait to jump on and have you on again. So one thing that piqued my interest is you were going to talk about the Chinese that are inflowing into the United States because we have this massive border crisis. I don't know why Congress isn't declaring war. We actually have an invasion on our homeland right now. But I want to get your take on what do you know about the Chinese that are coming in? And is this something that we should be worried about?
Yeah, absolutely, Amber. I mean, this is a clear and present immediate danger to the United States of America. And this is what I like to say. It's all about fentanyl. Fentanyl is 100% Chinese war against America. Last year, we lost, and that's documented through the CDC. We may not like the CDC for their COVID reporting stats, but I think these are accurate, if anything, underreported, because there's like 110,000 overdose deaths. 70,000 are from fentanyl, which is 100% from China. China just killed 70,000 Americans last year. To put this in perspective, this is more than the entire 34 years of combat in Vietnam plus the war on terror combined. Ladies and gentlemen, in 1 year, we lost more than 34 years in combat. If that's not compelling, I frankly don't know what is. And I think it's because it's complex, it's insidious, it's poisoning, which is always, you know, this is not a drug. Let's get this out of our system. No pun intended. This is not a drug. This is a poison. And I just came from Los Angeles. I saw Zombieville firsthand. Going through parts of Los Angeles, it is crazy. Went up to Seattle, crazy. Back here at home, right where I live, I was doing an interview from a car outside of our restaurant where we were eating, and just 100 feet to the left of me, clearly somebody was on fentanyl. Ladies and gentlemen, this is compelling. Now, I know there's been some great reporting from, I think it's Michael Yon and others, like in the Darien Gap. I want the way I present this, because some have been talking about these are Chinese military units. I don't think that's the case. These are definitely Chinese fighting age males. Because if I had to actually go through this process at the National Security Council and in the Office of the Secretary of Defense to formally the process to label a group, what are they? You have to have a legal status. I think the appropriate term for these Chinese males, fighting age males, is paramilitaries. Mm. And that's a key term because that would make them lawful combatants that we could engage with. We need to take this out. I've been on the Bannon Show two or three times on this topic. We need to get out of the law enforcement mindset and get into the military mindset. If it's conflict, law enforcement steps to the side or the rear. Military comes forward. There are several congressmen and senators, and this is very bipartisan, that are advocating declaring the cartels terrorist groups.
Do you know how long law enforcement's been wanting to do that, sir?
Yeah. And that takes then that starts to take it out of the law enforcement lane into the military lane, because this is very important. And what, the FBI, as much as we are not happy with them, there are some good things. And again, like you, Amber, I always try to call balls and strikes fairly. I don't like what's going on. It was a zoo at the Jim Jordan run whistleblower, where the FBI agents are being treated horribly by the agency. I am just shocked. Several of them have had their pay stopped. That is absolutely wrong. I am officially a DOJ whistleblower because of my work with the Durham investigation. I am just shocked that they would that is an unlawful act. But getting to focusing on this, the DOJ just announced the indictment of four Chinese nationals who are assisting the cartels in northern Mexico, because now the fentanyl is 100% put into final form in northern Mexico by the cartels under the supervision of these, what I will call, I think the proper legal term is paramilitaries, because these paramilitaries have also shown the ability to kind of float between the different cartels in a respected, unharmed manner. Okay. To me, that's kind of the way we operated for years with some of our special operators and intel and CIA and intelligence agency when we're doing operations like this. This tells me that the cartels all look up to these Chinese paramilitaries and now are essentially extensions. And they're the ones who are putting it together, getting it across the border, and delivering it into our neighborhoods and killing 70,000 Americans. So we need to declare this a these cartels terrorist groups, and the Chinese and there are many Chinese nationals that are essentially providing the command, control, oversight, and supervision of these cartels at this point in time. The DOJ just indicted four. Now that's separate. A lot of people say, yeah, they just indicted somebody in Boston, New York. That's the separate but very important issue of Chinese. Most of them, I think some of them have been American nationals, but some have been Chinese on visa status who are operating and helping the police state, the police stations.
Oh
Okay,
yeah,
a
remember
different
that was,
topic.
could you believe that was in New York City and a
Well,
Chinese police station?
the largest Chinese city outside of China is New York City. China is a huge, out of the 26, it's kind of shrinking, but the 26 million in New York, a very, very high proportion of Chinese. I mean, it's just like when we were recruiting regime exiles to overthrow Saddam, well, we had to go, part of that, we had to go to the largest Iraqi city outside of Iraq, which is Detroit. Okay, that's the way this thing these things work.
True.
So we gotta declare the cartels terrorist groups, and we have to and so anybody hanging around these terrorist groups would receive the legal title of paramilitaries, meaning they can be schwacked. That's a technical term. And so that's where we need to, and I on the Bannon show, walked through a conceptual and notional process. I've done this before. I've done this at the highest levels and implemented these operations. And we walked through the process to codify who they are, and then the planning process for actually making an example out of one of these fentanyl factories in northern Mexico, and especially making an example out of the Chinese paramilitaries. What does that example mean? Could mean they are vaporized in a predator, or excuse me, a Reaper strike. And right there, you got a huge Reaper unit right there at Davis Monthan, so the Arizona Air Guard just starts, and you go, oh my gosh, we're flying across the border. Well, this is Mexico is ungoverned space. It's
Right.
a joke. It's ungoverned space. Bad things happen in ungoverned space. So this is where, if we had a functional Secretary of State instead of the slippery weasel of Tony Blinken, who has just messed up everything he's touched, and now he looks like he was in on the steal. I think he's liable several different ways, and we'll get to the Twitter list. But this is where the weasel Tony Blinken, if he was actually doing his job, which is demarche, that's the sophisticated term, demarche Mexico, and just say, hey, here's what we're going to do. You guys have ungoverned space. We're going to reach into your ungoverned space, and we are going to engage and eliminate or capture some of these folks in your area. Like it or not, that's what we're going to do because you are have ungoverned space that you clearly can't govern, and it is a danger. Americans are being killed out of this region. So that's what Tony the Weasel Blinken, or Tony Eddie Haskell Blinken, should be doing. That's his job if he was doing it. And then the Title 10 entities begin. It's called Advanced Force Operations. We pull those 50 people back from Ukraine, who shouldn't be there anyway, those 900 from Syria who don't need to be there anyway, and rest them, relax them, get them to their schooling that they've missed, their military schooling they've missed while they've been gone. And then some of them send to Mexico, most of them to the Pacific, because that's where the main game is about to cook off.
Oh,
So,
really?
ladies and gentlemen, well, that's what's happening. I mean, I'm on a lot of these shows, and people start freaking out. I go, I don't want another war. Oh, we have no Taiwan
We're
has
in a
nothing to do
war.
with us.
Colonel,
Yeah,
we're in a war.
ladies and gentlemen,
Look.
they just killed 70,000 last year.
Yes.
What do you mean we're not in a war?
And look who's coming in through the border. Military-age men. Military-aged men from all over the world, like in Sudan and Somalia, all over the world, and Mexico. My fear is they have this, like you said, a paramilitary, like sections now all over the United States that at any point in time, they could pick up arms and start literally having combat. And I mean, this is a possibility. I don't know if it's going to happen, but when you have an influx of military-aged men, to me, that is a sign of war. Why Congress hasn't declared war is beyond me. Why we have four governors sitting at the border states not doing anything. Well, I know why, but they should be wanting to protect they're the front lines, and yet they don't want to do anything about it. Maybe the
Well,
Texas governor,
Katie Hobbs,
maybe,
obvious.
obviously.
Katie Hobbs obviously, bought, paid for. I am not making a formal charge here. I just want to be clear on that. But Katie Hobbs, we can't trust her. She doesn't
No.
care about America. She doesn't care about American citizens. But I am working on a legal arrangement among several states to create a legal action to address the border issue because of the failure of the federal government to do this. So hopefully it's going to happen quick. We're going to get a lot of energy on this, and it's going to happen. And we've been talking through this through, and we've been working through the process so we can implement it. It'll become a legal action, immediately become a federal issue, and then because of the federal failure to even probably take action on this legal thing, there's legal authority for the states to work together in the absence of and the failure of the federal government to do their job. So hopefully this is going to happen in like the next 90 days here so we can address some of this border stuff.
But do you think Gavin Newsom, Katie Hobbs, and that lady who's the governor of New Mexico, I don't know her name, but she's a Democrat too. It's by design, Colonel. And I'm sure you can see that by
Absolutely.
design. I mean, the maladministration that took place in the last election in Maricopa County was incredible. And you have to say, why was that? Well, Carrie Lake was America First, but she also had a strong border policy. And the second she took her hand off the Bible, she was going to implement it. Well, that was going to disrupt all this, whatever they want to do to disrupt America. We are the last country in the way of global dominance. They want a one world government, and America is the last country to stand in the way and say, no, we want freedom. So they have to take us down in order for their one world government to be a thing. So Carrie Lake was going to be a hindrance in that. Could they have still gone through
Absolutely.
California, New Mexico? Yeah. But she was going to show the light to the rest of the nation. How come Gavin Newsom's not doing anything? How come the governor in New Mexico is not doing anything? Could the governor in Texas stand up and start doing more? Yeah. That's why they didn't want her. And that's why they installed Katie Hobbs.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
We are here today. Defend democracy.
The misinformation poses a threat to our nation's health.
Climate change is an emergency.
Democratic socialism.
Codify everyone's right to choose.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15.
Hey everybody, this is Cash Patel and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Are you looking for a doctor you can trust? Then look no farther than Dr. Meehan, and you can find him at MeehanMD.com. That's M-E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, MD.com for all your healthcare supplemental and telemed needs. And you know what my family did? We shopped at his supplemental store and we purchased these two items to help support our gut health. These are supporting our gut health because you know what? The gut health is so important. Our immune system is in the gut. Our serotonin's made in the gut. And so the most Americans, if you know, have a leaky gut. So if you're looking to improve your health, whether you're improving your gut health or your immune system, or you just have something that you need to talk to a physician about, go to MeehanMD.com. That's M-E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, MD.com. And while you're there, make sure you use the promo code AMBER so you can save some money. And while you're at the website, make sure you set up your telemed appointment and then check out all his supplements that he offers as well. That's MeehanMD.com. Use promo code AMBER at checkout. You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
That's my theory. I mean, you as a military man, when you see military-age men flooding your country, what comes to your brain?
Yeah, I don't buy this at all because some of the blue and libs, they'll go, oh, it's because these males, they're so vulnerable in their own countries. And I said, look, they're leaving behind the women, children, and the old people. They're cowards and or they are the vanguard of chaos in America. And, you know, like the Chinese nationals, this is very important. I mean, and on these legal, air quote, legal pot farms, I am totally against drug legalization, totally. It's a total flim-flam fraud. Every place they're going, oh, if they legalize it, it'll be revenue for the school system. Wrong.
It's never been.
It'll be peaceful. Wrong. It'll reduce criminal activity.
Wrong.
Why is criminal marijuana exploding in California? Because it is so overly regulated. They're saying nobody can make money under these conditions. So we're just going to do it our way anyway. So it is a lie. So, but yeah, a number of murders of Chinese, these are not American citizens. These are Chinese on visa status who've been killing each other at these legal or maybe not illegal pot farms. So guys, they are organized crime / paramilitaries. And they're killing each other, and this, you know, they're going, "Woo, this is great! I can have a gun, and I can go whack my Chinese brothers and sisters who are ripping me off on their monthly payments. So I'll just go kill them." I mean, this is crazy town. So the Chinese paramilitaries are not only operating the cartels, overseeing the cartels, you know, but they're operating inside American territory, and they're also killing each other. I would say it's time to stop granting visas for those who are even getting visas legally. This is crazy. And we're facing an invasion. Congress has to take action. And I think that you will see something in the next 6 months. We're also, I'm with a group who's working something. We feel it's legally sound and we feel it'll really compel action. It might just force Congress to move faster, but we've war gamed this and walked through it a number of times. We think it has a good legal sound basis for action.
Let me ask you, because I really don't know how the inner workings of the military are and how military soldiers deploy. I really don't know. I mean, generally speaking, I know you get orders from the president or whatever, But if they're like here in Arizona, if there was high ups, I don't know how high they go in the state military as far as rank goes. But if the highest rank, could he deploy without orders from Washington, the governor? Could he deploy troops to the border? So tell me how that works, because I really don't know.
So Katie Hobbs can appoint what's called each state has an adjutant general. That's usually a two-star, and it's usually a two-star because you have an air guard and you have an army guard. Mm-hmm. But Katie Hobbs, like it or not, can appoint the senior military person. And the rules on that appointment are nationwide very loosey-goosey. They've had to tighten up a little bit because, shockingly, because you can tank somebody with no military experience and make them a two-star general. The DOD had to implement some rules and regulations because it was crazy. I mean, this is like 20 years ago. I mean, it was a big fiasco in California in the 90s that the DOD says, okay, we got to start putting some basic minimum guidelines here. You can't just grab somebody, your buddy off the street and say, you're now a two-star general. It's a disaster.
Yeah. I don't know how it works in the military, right? So hire me as a two-star general and look how badly we will not win the war. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll Amber, go down to the Arizona Guard headquarters, get a two-star uniform. You're now a two-star.
Okay? God bless the soldiers under my command. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. So the adjutant themselves have no authority to do that. They cannot do that. That is a governor decision. The governor can deploy, but this is where immediately there's been intimidation by the federal government saying, hold on a second. You can't deploy them to the border. That's a federal mission. You stay away from that. Okay. That's where we've been working on this little legal arrangement. We're going, mm-hmm. Okay, fine. You're going to say it's your mission? Okay. Well, we feel we found the formula to jujitsu on that argument. But that's the problem is as soon as a state governor tries to deploy them toward the border, there's been intimidation from the federal government on that matter. And that's even during Trump days from the deep staters, ladies and gentlemen, we got to bring this issue to a resolution here because this is just crazy.
Yeah. We're going to lose our country.
I mean, the open border is, and if 70,000 dead a year from Chinese fentanyl made in northern Mexico by the cartels under Chinese supervision, more than we lost in 34 years of combat. I don't know how else to explain this. So we got to do something quick on this. So that's basically that, Amber. I mean, the sausage making of how it's called the JOPES, and I think that's even a little bit out of date term, the Joint Operational and Planning Execution System. I mean, that's like a 2-week course at one of the military schools the whole process from bottom to top to bottom. And I've lived that world for years. So I know that pretty much, off the top of my head.
My fear is, Colonel, that if something doesn't happen either on the state level or the federal level, our Second Amendment, a well-rounded militia being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms should not be infringed. I feel that there's going to be people, either retired military or people that just love the country so much, will gather up their own armament because they will get frustrated at some point. And then they are going to be that militia and take action when our federal government and our state government's doing nothing. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I could see that as a possibility. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's called a civil war. That's not a good thing. I've actually served in combat conditions in civil wars. They're very ugly and nasty. I don't recommend that course of action. And I think that's where we have to just dominate, like in Maricopa. There's several people who are reaching out to me from Maricopa and I'm going, wow, what? I don't know. What can we do? Maricopa, I don't live in Maricopa. I don't have legal standing in Maricopa. what in the world do we have to do with Maricopa? I mean, part of my, when I gave that, I can't call it testimony because I wasn't sworn in, but when I gave that presentation back in February in front of the Joint Senate House hearing, you know, one of my recommendations was you gotta carve up Maricopa. You gotta figure out a way to carve up Maricopa. And is that your problem in Arizona? Mm-hmm. And Maricopa citizens, I know many of you are tired. I know you're worn out. I know you've been fighting and with what seems like no progress ever since November 20.
Right.
But we got Maricopa citizens. I mean, you got to figure out how to take over your county GOP, how to dominate your seven centers of gravity. And that's in my book, The Nation Will Follow, nationwillfollow.com. That's where plan out, demonstrate, you know, you got to dominate your county council. You got to dominate your election board, your registrar, your school board, your judges, sheriffs, and prosecutors. You've got to figure out a way. And every county rule is different. We got roughly 3,300 county equivalent. So there's not a, you know, some experts in election integrity will say, this is the model. Well, actually, it doesn't fit. You have to be, you know, these are best practices, but you have to tailor for your own county. But you know, you gotta figure it out. And I think you gotta figure out a way to bust up Maricopa into like three new counties. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have 133 counties, and you know, the cities always go berserk. Okay. We got roughly 100 counties, roughly 33 cities that are county equivalents. Sorry, I'm just going to buy the Census Bureau. Okay. But we have 133 county equivalents in Virginia. You guys have, what is it? How many counties do you have there? 13, 17?
Yeah, we don't have that many, but they're, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have
here. Yeah, so you guys got to bust up the power center in Maricopa. Mm-hmm. And you know, creative action, like you've got Oregon, the eastern counties of Oregon are making significant progress toward voting a common resolution to realign with Idaho. And oh, you know, I've creative actions like, yeah, you know, and so that, and you gotta, we're trying to figure out leadership on the ground. It's all about leadership on the ground. I can sit here, I can fly in, I can help people, I can motivate. This is, you know, and Joe Kent and I have talked about this. I mean, you know, special operations training, I can help train the trainer, but in the end, it has to be somebody from Maricopa that fights this battle. I can't do it. And I don't want to give false expectations. It has to be Maricopa residents that take care of this.
Well, right now, Colonel Mills,
anything.
There's a recall effort going against one of the county board of supervisors. They're trying to be strategic. When there was a recall against the county board of supervisors in 2020, they went after all of them, and we just didn't have the manpower to go after all of them. So now it's one by one by one by one. There will be a recall effort against Katie Hobbs. She has to be in office 6 months before that can begin, and I haven't really done the count, so I don't know where we are with that. I do know there's a group out there ready to do that, and there's a group out there starting recalls against the county board of supervisors. So what you're saying about we have to do something, these are great steps. Do you agree, Colonel? Like, these are great
steps
to take over our local. And I agree with you. There was legislation this session. I'm pretty sure if it passed, it got vetoed. She's vetoed everything. She's the queen of veto. She's like, she wants to be known as the governor who vetoes the most. And I don't even want to call her that because I don't feel like she's earned it. And we'll find out. I be in prayer, please, Colonel, and anyone watching, be in prayer over the Carrie Lake case, because that's important. And the Abe Hominy.
Yeah, amen.
Mm-hmm. And be in prayer over our recall efforts, because, you know, local action. I really believe in what General Flynn says, local action creates national impact. And I think you are saying something similar to that, like local, you have to do something local. You don't live here. Right. So it's the local people that really have to be creative, just like you said, and figure out workarounds, and nothing's impossible. We just got to figure out that thing that's going to finally turn the tide.
And I have a Substack account. I'm Colonel Rhett John, Colonel R-E-T John. That's my Substack. It's also what I am on Getter and Truth. And I have a lot of documents, and I work closely with several folks, including Joe Vaughn, on these matters. But, you know, I have a lot of examples of, again, I can give best practices, but the local team has to take those and then tailor them for mm-hmm. their specific situation. Mm-hmm. So I can give you about the 60 to 70% solution. And that's as good as it's going to get. Because again, and one of the things we need to minimize friction between these different election integrity yes. experts.
Yes.
Because you've got a lot of people who are, you know, some of the bigger name people and mid name people who will attack and savage other people who dare use the term election integrity. And I will show you documents from 2019 where I would assert that I coined the phrase election integrity. And I was the RNC asked to see these documents right before the 2020 election. And they couldn't care less until January 7th, when they exploded with fundraising on election integrity.
Wow.
So we got to stop fighting among ourselves, because there's a lot of self-appointed experts. And I'm kind of a self-appointed expert myself. I mean, but I had to teach myself all these things. And I've had, hey, I mean, how many people out there have had any success in getting felony indictments against? I am successful in getting 4 felony indictments against people for 2020 election fraud. That's a pretty darn good batting record. Who else? Yeah. Who else has done that? Nobody.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, so I do have a little bit of a track record of success, and so take it.
And you have success in leadership. You've been in leadership. You know how to lead people. And honestly, I think people are looking for leaders, because the elected officials, not all of them, but a lot of them has let us down. And so people are looking for leaders to help guide people lost. Now, what do I do? And you having a leadership role is so important in our movement. And we just have to get natural born leaders to pick up and carry out local action. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The MyPillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, MyPillow 2.0.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a MyPillow or not, you need to get the brand new MyPillow 2.0. Call or go to MyPillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time, when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
Hey, guys, this is Pastor Greg Locke, and you are listening to The Amber May Show.
You know, it used to be in the 1920s, you could buy a whole suit for $20. You could get a shirt, a tie, a handkerchief, everything, belt, everything, pants. And that's just not the case anymore. But you could also do that in the early 1900s with a piece of gold. You could buy a whole entire suit worth of... In the early 1900s, like 1920s, 30s, with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20. Maybe a tie. Maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, WealthManagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you. You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
Yeah, I have a briefing. I want to call out one state and two counties that are models of success in this area. North Carolina, out of all the states, there's still friction within the groups in North Carolina, but I think North Carolina and the what bears the fruit of that is their ability. They just flipped a member of their state house, which gave them a super majority. Wow. So they could, and they just overrode, so they can now the corrupt Roy Cook, the governor. I am not making a formal charge or assertion against Governor Cook, just to be clear. They can now outvote him, and I think a lot of that is because of their ability to work well together. There's still friction, and I've been down there several times to give my observation and best practices. But I think North Carolina needs to pat itself on the back. I think they're a national example of a state with all the different groups who work relatively well together. And then I'll call out two counties, Rock County, Wisconsin, and Madison County, Illinois. Those groups are on fire and very effective. So I think if you want national examples, I'll also call out Tarrant County, Texas. I think Tarrant County has done well. So, so those are three model counties and a model state. So if anybody wants an example, those are the counties and the states so far that I think are really are the head of the pack on this. So
I would agree with you. We need unity, and I know we're saying it, but I've just seen too many of us kill our own side, and we're not getting anywhere. And that's where the Democrats shine, or that's where the left shine. It doesn't matter if there's infighting, they all move in one direction, and we eat our own. And it's not getting anywhere, and I'm tired of it. I don't want to eat our own anymore. I want to work with whoever we have to work with, be adults, grow up, and do the best we can, because this is the only way when we work together as one unit and not censor and not do this and not do that, work together, not call names, work together. This is how we're going to win. This is how we're going to win. And then after we win, then we can hash out the rest of the stuff, but we need to come together and set some of the stuff aside so we can come together on the things that we are feeling common about. And that's how we're going to win. John, Colonel Mills, I know that you have to run. I know you have a busy schedule, and I'm just so grateful for your time with me. I just enjoy interviewing you and speaking to you. So thank you so much for coming on my program. Once again, tell us how we find your book.
Yeah, thank you. It's www.thenationwillfollow.com. Thenationwillfollow.com. My time in the deep state, fighting my colleagues who I found out were spying on candidate and then President Trump, me fingering them to the Durham investigation. And one of the five referrals, a lot of people are missing this, one of the five referrals, I'm pretty sure are two of the names I gave. That referrals means a criminal prosecution is recommended. Okay, so I think in one of those, there's two people. I'm pretty sure that's two of the names that I gave to the investigation. So it also, it's an action plan. And I know you're involved in the precinct project. I love the precinct project. That's about the party. That's about the party governance structure. In the book, I give a map and a plan. The seven centers of governance in common to all 3,300 county equivalents are the school board, the county council, the election board, the registrar, you call them a recorder in Arizona, mm-hmm. And then the judges, sheriffs, and prosecutors. Those are the key seven groups to engage with and influence. And it's really hard to engage with them when you're saying, I'm a member of the GOP. I never do that. I am, because I disassociate myself with my county GOP. Mm-hmm. I forced out two GOP chairs in a row because of their behavior. Very simple. I asked them for their resignation and they resigned. It wasn't that difficult. Okay, so, so focus on those seven. I meet with my sheriff monthly. I meet with, the attorney general. He will meet. I have no special relationship with, the staff of the attorney general. He will meet with anybody who is not a crazy. And, so just be professional, know your stuff. And they will be happy, as they will meet with any citizen of Virginia. But again, that resulted in two things. You know, here again, you know, I have multiple successes. That my former registrar is now under two felony indictments. Last fall, after the election, I wrote the 10 best practices. It's on my Substack account, 10 best practices. Take that and apply it to your own state and county. Those were focused on Virginia. But again, that's the 60 to 70% solution. I recommended Arizona, and I briefed the attorney general. I said, there is no lawful reason, there is no legal requirement for Virginia to be in the ERIC system.
There's none. Agree.
I said it is the inherent executive authority of Governor Youngkin to say, you know what, we're no longer going to be in the ERIC system.
We should not
There's
be
no legal requirement. And guess what? Voila. Virginia is now the eighth state to depart the ERIC system. So this is where you got to work the issue. Make it actionable for these seven centers. You could walk into your sheriff. Did you know this person did this wrong in accordance with this law or regulation? Make it actionable for him. Or governor, did you know there's no legal requirement for you to be an ERIC? And they go, really? There's not? No, there's none. Make it easy for them. But at the same time, I love the precinct project because you got to hold the county GOP. When I forced out my state registrar or my county registrar, I got a ferocious, nasty letter from the county GOP. Not from the Democrats.
Supporting you. See, yeah. That's what I'm saying. We eat our own. I'm tired of it. I am so tired of it, John.
That county chair, as I said, I challenged him. He either delivered the next election or I want his resignation, and he's gone. So
good.
It's as simple as that. And I appreciate it. I do have to go. I'm doing a lot of the talking. Amber, let's make this a monthly event.
I would love that. Come on monthly. I'd love that. Thank you, Colonel Mills. Appreciate you.
All right. Appreciate you too, Amber. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.